Yeah, I was just talking about the polling numbers. The Quinnipiac poll caught a lot of people, I guess, by surprise last week. The support for the president is just 33%. But a poll that caught my eye here over the last couple of days, Rasmussen poll, has him at 60% disapprove. Only 38% approve. So his approval numbers are falling into the 30s steadily, as low as 33%, and I think it could get worse. But a 22-point disparity between those that approve and those that disapprove tells you everything you need to know. And we're not quite to the one-year mark of Joe Biden being in office. It's been an ugly year. Former House Intelligence Committee Chairman and Congressman from Michigan, Pete Hoekstra, here with me today. Pete, good to see you as always.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks, Steve.
You know, you and I have been students of this political game for a long time. You were a player on the board for, 18 years in Congress, and then you served as an ambassador to the Netherlands during the Trump administration. I have never seen a person, and I don't even know if I've seen a governor, go from, trusted and liked completely off the cliff in less than a year like this. I don't know if I've ever seen this.
No, it really is unprecedented what we're seeing with President Biden. And the real cause is he came in and he promised one thing. He said, I'm going to bring some calm and normality. I'm just going to be good old Joe, and we're just going to work together in Washington and get some things done. And it's turned out to be something totally, totally different. A $1.2, $1.5 trillion infrastructure bill, total collapse in Afghanistan, build back better, something that was going to be $3 to $5 trillion, depending on how you scored it. This voting rights bill, he's been totally out of sync and has not been connecting with the American people. So the numbers are not surprising. But the bottom line is, Steve, what we have now, we have a lame duck president. We have a lame duck president for the next 3 years. Democrats are already talking about potentially having Hillary Clinton run in 2024.
Isn't that remarkable? I want to jump in here on a couple of these things because you put a lot there. I want to unpack. Joe Biden goes out there and says, if you don't agree with his point of view, you're Bull Connor, you're Jefferson Davis, you're George Wallace. I mean, and if you do agree with him, then you're Abe Lincoln and Martin Luther King. Weird, really, that he would say, if you don't agree with me, you're a Democrat like Bull Connor, you're a Democrat like Jefferson Davis, you're a Democrat like George Wallace, and if you do agree with me, you're a Republican like Abe Lincoln, a Republican like Martin Luther King. Interesting, strange.
Yeah, and if you take a look at his record, if you don't agree with him today, then you agree with the Joe Biden you're the Joe Biden of 15, 20 years ago, or
sure.
Some would say, the Joe Biden of even today.
Absolutely true. And you talk about Democrats jumping ship. We heard from Tulsi Gabbard earlier in this hour saying that she supported Joe Biden because Joe Biden was going to bring us together, and he's done nothing but divide us further. And she says, basically, he's dangerous for the country. She says, Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, I sit here, it's pretty obvious to me, I think Tulsi Gabbard is going to jump into the Democrat primary again, regardless of what happens. She doesn't really worry too much about the Democrat establishment. She's an outspoken advocate for her points of view, and I think that she's somebody that takes on Joe Biden. I don't know about Hillary Clinton, maybe. But I think Tulsi Gabbard and Hillary Clinton in a debate would be fun, too. What do you think?
It would be fun. I think Tulsi Gabbard, she might find a better home in the Republican Party.
Well, there's truth to that.
That would be an interesting show.
But, she's fairly liberal on a lot of points, but she's also rejecting this idea of racism and bigotry and all this. If you don't agree with us, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a domestic terrorist, and all of this nonsense. And then the Department of Justice laying out a domestic terrorism division. Pete, that's to target people like you and people like me. I mean, let's be honest about what that is. It's not about targeting the 3%ers or the Oath Keepers. It's about targeting ordinary Americans who don't agree with their ideology. That's what it is.
Targeting domestic terrorism is a dangerous precedent to begin with because you're targeting your own citizens. When you hear the descriptions that are coming out from the Department of Justice and others in the Biden administration, it is clear that it is not a domestic terrorism unit. It is a conservative domestic terrorism unit where they only have one group of people in their sights that they're going to look at. And you're exactly right. It's people like you and me. And when you unleash the power of the federal government against an individual, whether that person has done anything wrong or not, they're in big trouble because you can't afford to fight the big government.
Not on that level, you can't. Government. I mean, look at the number
not
of people. Look at the number of people that remain jailed in Washington today. Most of the charges coming out of what happened on January the 6th of last year, the majority of them are trespassing charges, misdemeanor charges. Now, they've gone ahead and charged sedition against 11 people, I believe. We'll see if that holds up because it's an awfully tough case to make, but we'll see. We'll watch that. But criminalizing speech is what I'm driving at. They're criminalizing a point of view. And they're also labeling, if you and I say something they don't agree with, well, that's hate speech. And so they have to criminalize hate speech. The point of the entire First Amendment is to protect my right to express myself in words, in deeds, in religion, in whatever it is. And what we're doing here is playing with a very dangerous powder keg that would criminalize speech in America. It's hate speech. This is we have to charge Mr. Gruber. He's hateful or whatever. Pete, we're going down a very dangerous path.
And, you know, they have allies. The social media tech giant, Rand Paul sent out a message over the weekend saying, hey, I think at Facebook, are you going to come and apologize now? Because, a year ago when he put up a 3-minute video discussing the value and the effectiveness of various kinds of masks, they silenced him. They took the video down. Now the CDC is coming out and basically saying exactly the same thing. So it's not only government, it's these tech giants who are driving the same agenda that the Democrats have in place that they're trying to do through government. The tech giants are trying to drive that message through social media, the private sector. We're under attack from basically all sides right now.
I couldn't be more true what you just said there. You know, a good friend of mine who listens to this program, Esquire Bob, he's a little left of center. You know, I've been telling him for years that the First Amendment's under attack. He just, oh, it is not. That's just silly. It is certainly under attack, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there is an argument about it. But the evidence stacks up totally on the other side that it is. There is an attack on free speech. You and I have to be very, very careful about what we tweet, what we post, and those types of things, or we face the option or the potential of being banned.
Yeah, shut down, silenced, marginalized. Yeah. And that's not the America that I know. And I did see a big shining light of hope over the weekend. That was Glenn Youngkin getting sworn in as the Virginia governor, putting parents back in charge of schools and everything else. So there is hope out there, Pete. Good people out there want to say, Youngkin, you know what? Go ahead.
Yeah, Youngkin's already screwed up. He didn't handle the snowstorm a week and a half ago.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Even though he wasn't governor.
Yeah, I know. They were attacking him for not getting the roads plowed when he wasn't governor. Anyhow, Pete Hoekstra, always appreciate you being here, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
There you have it, Pete Hoekstra. He spent 18 years in Congress, but he served his sentence and he was released. Good behavior, apparently. Good to have him here, as always. We'll take a quick break and continue on here on the Steve Gruber Show. Find out more at SteveGruber.com, SteveGruber.com, where you'll hear more about the upcoming podcast. If I don't tell you more about that after the break, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. See it in the headlines every day. The price of everything is going up, and nothing's going up faster than the cost of energy. What if your heating and cooling bill doubled or tripled? What would that mean to you and your family? For most people, it would be devastating. It's time you learned about WellConnect. With WellConnect, you might be able to cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. And if you already have a well in the yard, you already have the key piece of equipment for a 100% renewable energy source. That's right, your well can be the heart of a WellConnect hybrid geothermal system. WellConnect is a Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year alone, WellConnect reduced propane consumption by 1 million gallons, saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Why gamble on the price of energy? Get connected to WellConnect. Right now, you can still qualify for a 26% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. WellConnect.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.